Well, Jason, there is no Nick this week, as he is—he thinks he's a world traveler,
Mr. Worldwide.
Oh, gallivanting around. I don't even remember where he's at.
I think he's in London. I think
that's what I thought he was in, over there, bawling his eyes out over in London. So,
yeah,
I'm glad we don't have to listen to him talk about
the Celtics
and rub it in our faces and all that bullshit. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to be back. I know that, I wasn't here last week, and I was severely missed, so I know some impersonations went on, and the tip of the cap to the impressions is it was quite comical.
It wasn't
really
an impression. It was literally me just putting on a hat. But
Yeah, that was good enough, though.
But I'll take it. So, yeah. One question, though. Nick kind of went against what I said, because when we were talking on the stream, I said, hey, let's not tell Jason, and let's see if he watches, because – if and when he does, he's going to obviously reach out and be like, hey, I saw what you. And then what does he do? He instantly texts you and he's like,
hey, man, you watch it yet?
Yeah, you watch it. I'm like, Nick, I'm like, shut your mouth, man. Like, so my question really is, would you have watched or listened to it? Okay.
Yeah. I had plans to watch it anyways the next day, so I would have watched it regardless.
I figured that you would. So here's a fun fact that I think you and I discussed this ever so briefly. I am joining your world of what you have going on before the stream, which people don't realize that Jason hustles back from baseball practice to catch this stream. And starting this Friday, I'm coaching my son's, I don't know what you want to call it. I'll say Little League just to make it easy. But I'm coaching his team. And so their practice starts on Friday. So,
all right.
One thing, I don't know, what age is it that you're coaching? Is it T-ball?
So I have two sons, and I do T-ball, and I do 7-8-year-olds, which is considered, here it's considered Pinto. Okay. T-ball, Shetland, and it's like these horse names, Shetland, okay. And then Pinto.
So for us, it's called machine pitch, because it's going to be machine pitching.
Oh, see, I've heard about that. I wish we had that.
That's what we did at that age. That's what I did.
We have coach pitching, so I'm up there on the rubber, throwing these, the kids get like 7 pitches and then they're out. Yeah, I'm like trying not to like throw crappy pitches, throw a little slider or something. But no, I wish we had the machine pitching, because that would be more consistent than my
arm. I'd rather just pitch to them. But so anyways, the reason I bring it up is I've been looking, like for me, it'd be a much easier transition personally to go like coach some college team or to go coach even high school. But for the younger kids, it's literally just, let's have fun and let's just work on our game. And so all the stuff that I know from playing baseball for so long is just too far. It's just too far.
Oh, yeah. So we're back to the basics.
I downloaded a cool app. It's called Mojo. It's through MLB.
Okay.
And they've got a ton of different, for different age groups and everything too, but they've got a ton of different drills and stuff like that. So,
You just turned me on. I'm about to download that app.
Yeah, I would choose your words a little more carefully. I don't know if I.
It turned me on. Yeah, it was great.
it's Lily Mojo. Matter of fact, I'll send you a screenshot of what it looks like. But you go on there, and it's got a ton of different drills. I mean, a lot of it's kind of common sense, if you will, but it's a lot of stuff that I was already thinking about doing, but it makes it much more structured and everything. So
you don't realize how much getting back to the basics means when you're teaching T-ball and seven-year-olds. I mean, we're talking about just simple things of running through first base and not second and third.
No, exactly. And so my goal here for the first practice, honestly, is just to get a baseline of where we at, because he just got done playing soccer.
Okay.
And the one thing, and his coach was awesome. Like his coach was super awesome. Like, first of all, he was good with the kids. But second of all, he knew the game well,
Right.
So I basically want to emulate what he did. Like, he was really great. And so anyways, the first, like the practice before they started playing was just really generic, just kind of, hey, like a scrimmage kind of a thing. Like, this is how you dribble the ball. Like, just simple stuff. And then after the first game, when you could see, okay, this is where these kids don't have a clue yet, or you know, then he was able to tailor practice to exactly where they needed help. And so that's what I'm going to be looking to do as well, is we'll have the first practice. The second practice, we actually get to use the pitching machine. From that point, I'll then know who can hit, who can field, who can throw, who knows what first base even is, and all that stuff. And then it'll be easy. Then it'll be okay. This is where we need help. This is what we're going to work on. And and I'm open to whatever that means. I'm open to that simply being, we need to learn how to catch, or we can maybe take some half-ass infield maybe. I mean, it just depends on how well we can catch and throw and hit. So it'll be fun. Brayden's all sorts of excited about, we literally played baseball all weekend. Been playing baseball the last couple weekends, and he's super excited.
And that's what it is at that age too, is just getting them to have fun. Cause you know, it's not the most competitive baseball, right? So as long as they're having fun, then that's what it's about.
Yeah. It's going to be very different. Like growing up for me. I mean, I was good at a very young age. So my entire life, I was always playing at the level above what I was supposed to be at for my age.
Okay.
And so I never got to do like the fun stuff, like what, you know, the silly drills and stuff that we're going to do. I was always right into like for real baseball and stuff. So I never really had like fun at practice. You know, practice was, you know, you're always taking infield and doing situational stuff and taking some fly balls in the outfield, taking batting practice, doing some laps, and you go home. And you just did that 5 days a week, you know, and then you play games in between. And, you know, that's what I'm used to, and that's not at all what we're going to be doing. And so it'll be a nice little change of pace, man.
Absolutely.
First thing I want to talk about here, man, is I want to talk about Shohei Ohtani, because I had made mention earlier, you know, in the season that I didn't think that we were going to see another season like 2021 from Shohei. I'm still not sure that it's possible. But what we're seeing so far this year in 2022 is he's pretty much on pace to do exactly what he did last year. And there's a lot less fanfare around it. Probably just because, you know, we've already seen him do it. But if you take a look at his stats, we'll roughly say he's like a third of the way through the season. He's 48 games in. He's obviously not going to play, you know, a full 162. So he's played about a third of the games he's going to play. Now, his home run numbers are down a little bit. He's got 11, so he's on pace for, you know, 30, 33, 34, 35 home runs. RBIs are right on pace. He's at 32, so on pace for 96. He's got 7 stolen bases, so technically on pace for 21, a little bit down there. Batting average is 8 points behind, so 249. But everyone's batting average is down this year, so it actually might be a better batting average than, you know, what he's used to. And then on the mound, same thing. He's got 8 starts. He had 23 last season. Innings, he's at 45, roughly. He had 140 last year. So, again, right on pace there. ERA is very similar. 3.45 this year. He's at a 3.18 last year. And the whip is actually a little lower, 104 compared to 109. So he's pretty even there. His strikeout rate's a little bit higher. He's got 63 Ks compared to 156 last year. So he's on pace for about 190. So, you know, all in all, minus some home runs, basically, he's having the same season that he had last year. And I don't know why we're not really talking about him as much. Maybe it's just it's a little too early in the season for that kind of talk. I don't know. But I don't know, man. What do you think? Like, he's basically doing, now I wouldn't say the opposite, but he's doing something that I said wouldn't be done again, and he's doing it. So he's spitting right in my face on this. So, I mean, I'd like to hear your thoughts in with knowing what he's capable of in 2021 and basically repeating it this year.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's kind of, you know, the fanfare may not be there, maybe because this is an unprecedented territory before. We've seen it now from at least 1 year. We've seen him put up the numbers with the pitching numbers. And then, like you said, I know the strikeouts are a little bit up this year, but I think that was maybe a product of that initial dead ball era of April. But the power numbers, yeah, I know. The power numbers, still, again, could be a little bit better. He's only slugging 470. He slugged 590 last year, so it is down a little bit, but if you look at the expected slugging, it's at 581. So that's suggesting that we're seeing, you know, going to see an increase to that 470.
Yeah, and I think that, like you said, though, like with the dead ball, all the numbers are down. So that's why I said his average being down 8 points is actually probably an improvement.
Yeah.
But that's where I think is your difference in maybe the expected stats, is the expected stats are kind of take into account a lot more things than, you know, the numbers themselves, which are very just black and white, like what is the result?
Right.
So I think that, you know, like the slugging being down is literally a product of slugging is down for everybody.
And right.
So I think you can attribute that as well to the home runs and say, well, the home run total is down. Well, yeah, unless you're Aaron Judge, everyone's
respectfully, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's already has three multi-home run games. So it's not like, I mean, the power numbers are down, but they're not because, you know, he's still hitting the ball out of the park. And there's a couple instances where it's like, you know, we're seeing a lot of, you know, fly ball or warning track power. So it's not like it's all the way out of there. And yeah, again, like he's almost on, you know, he's got double, he's, you know, the counting stats are there. He's already got the double digit home runs. He's trending towards that double digit steals. Obviously he's real close there. He's projecting towards that 30 home runs, 100 RBIs and 100 runs and 20 stolen bases. And also he's doing on the mound as well too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, pretty much.
The only thing I can knock on Ohtani right now is I own him in a weekly league and it's brutal.
Yeah, well, that's on you for owning him in a way. You can't be mad at him for that, man.
No, not at all, not at all. I'm more mad at my format.
Do you think though that this is going to continue? Is this just who he is?
I think
you lean more towards me, where I said 2021 was going to be the outlier.
I think we have to, you know, chalk it up that this is what he is. I think if there's any regression coming, it's on the mound. I think the hitting is legitimate. We just kind of proven that over the last, you know, 2 years. If there's going to be any sort of regression, I think it's going to be on the mound.
And but he's going to get hurt, right? At some point, like.
Yeah. Well, he did get hurt, and that's how he kind of became more of that. You know, they gave him that year off from pitching, and he went only to hitting, or that half a year where he only hit as a DH, and that's still kind of providing a ton of value. So.
Well, I mean, speaking of getting hurt, let's flip over to the other side of Chicago here. And Tim Anderson hits the DL. He had a groin injury, helped off the field, and heads to that injured list for the White Sox, which kind of reads like an all-star lineup.
Yeah.
You know, Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, Moncada has been hurt. Lance Lynn is hurt. I mean, you know, it just goes on and on. Like, I don't think anyone has had more top-end talent hurt than the White Sox have, which should be good for my Tigers. But my Tigers can't score a run. So it doesn't really much matter. But, I mean, Tim Anderson's been fantastic.
Yeah.
Betting 253 – or, I'm sorry, 253. That, where the hell did I get that number from? Betting 356.
Close. Yeah, three.
Yeah. He's just – I think he's one of the – I actually think he's one of the more underrated players in all of baseball. I own him in a few different spots just because it always seems like he falls and is in a position where I think he's a good value, but other people are still balking at him. So, I don't know, man, like – I don't know what the takeaway here is necessarily, other than, I guess, do we just simply think that he's going to come back from an injury and we're going to see typical Tim Anderson? Or, I mean, what are your thoughts as far as like what I said about thinking he's one of the more underrated or at least maybe underappreciated might be a better term players in the game? What do you think?
I agree. And I think I've gone on the record on this podcast saying, you know, he's the BABIP king and he still is again this year, but he still gets hits. He's still batting over 300. He's batting like that 356 a year. And it's obviously a groin injury, I think, is one of the ones that's kind of concerning, right? It's one of those nagging injuries. It was a non-contact injury, kind of just happened to be running out of fly ball. I saw the injury happen live. It's like one of those things where it's like, oh, man, you know, I don't know if this is something that's going to be lingering throughout the year.
Yeah, I mean, definitely something linger, man.
Especially yeah.
For a guy like Tim Anderson who relies on that speed. I mean, that's the reason why he's always got a good BABIP is because guys that have speed are usually going to have a good BABIP. Like a guy like Miguel Cabrera is never going to have a good BABIP because right. He's not stealing hits.
Right.
But a guy like a Tim Anderson or Shohei Ohtani, for example, they're going to get a handful of hits at least during the season that other people just don't get. And that just slightly inflates that BABIP.
Right. And it's not just the BABIP. I mean, his 393 WOBA ranks as the 14th best. He's got 391 xWOBA, and that ranks as the 25th best amongst all qualified hitters. So it's not like, again, I was calling on record saying that, you know, maybe the luck is going to run out, but it's not just luck. He's hitting great.
He continually has those numbers, like year after year. Like,
right.
I mean, a lot of people pointed out his BABIP and say he's not going to – he can't just continue to have this high of a BABIP. Like, it's not sustainable. Right. And every year he does it.
He does it.
He is the exception to that rule.
Yeah. And this year he's even cut down the strikeouts. His strikeouts right now, if you didn't know, it's only 11%, which is shocking for him. Yeah. I mean, so I think it's a bigger, you know, hit to the White Sox in real life. Obviously, the fantasy numbers are great for, you know, if you're a batting average league and even an on-base league, the ratios are great. But you know, the power is down a little bit. But yeah, I mean, what's not to like about what he's been doing so far as far as the ratios go?
Well, let's talk about the opposite of Tim Anderson, and that's Aaron Judge, who I think is having the season of his career. I mean, to be quite fair, you know, 2017 was absolutely phenomenal. You know, batted 284, 52 home runs, 114 RBIs, swiped 9 bags, on base of 422. Like, that was a phenomenal season. Last year was pretty good as well, but this season he is on pace to just beat all of these. So again, if we say we're a third of the way through the season, he's got 18 home runs, so that projects out to be like 54 home runs, which is probably more like 70 in a normal year. You know, like one's getting home runs, and then there's Aaron Judge. He's got 37 RBI, so that projects out to like 120-ish roughly. He's batting 309, and he's even sneaking in a few steals. You know, he's got 3 steals. On base of 376, he's got an OPS over 1,000, not by much, but still over 1,000.
Yep.
I mean, this guy has been absolutely on a tear lately. Are we seeing what we think is, you know, maybe the best season of Aaron Judge, which again, I think is even more impressive considering, you know, the stats that those around him are putting up. I mean, you know, 2 years ago, these were still great numbers, but, you know, they weren't so impressive. But when you compare it to what other people are doing, he's outperforming everybody right now.
Right. I do just a little small pat on my back, which isn't the greatest pat on the back. But before the season, we did do our bold predictions. I went out on a huge limb, as I should say, and said that, you know, Aaron Judge would get back to hitting 50-plus home runs and lead the league in MLB in home runs. However, I did get dinged.
His 18 might lead the league if nobody else hits anymore.
Yeah, but I got dinged a little bit on that article. I mean, it wasn't the most boldest of predictions, but whatever. Yeah, if you look back again to that 2017 season, through his first 2 months of the season, he had 17 home runs. Currently, through the first 2 months of the season, he's at 18 home runs. The power numbers are just through the roof. You know, he's got a 669 slugging, ranks obviously best in the league, which is 20 points higher than the second place, which is Mike Trout at 652.
Yeah,
and if you look at the X slugging, it suggests that it could even be better than the 669. And his he's got a 360 ISO, which leads the league, obviously. And it's only five hitters. He's only one of five hitters to have an ISO above 300. So, and again, we're also seeing it with that batting average too. He was always some of the guy, you know, when he came up, I was like, I don't know, you know, he's going to be that big, tall body. He's going to hit a ton of home runs, but he can he maintain that batting average? And he's proving year after year, he's that 280, 290 hitter, which if you're getting 40, 50 home runs and batting 290, I mean, look out. I mean, this right now, I mean, we're down to, you know, Aaron Judge and Ohtani so far as the AL MVP. And if, again, if it wasn't for Ohtani's pitching, you know, it's hard to go against that pitching and hitting. But, you know, Aaron Judge is right there neck and neck with Ohtani for that AL MVP.
Yeah. And, I mean, to your point, you almost nailed it. He's got a career batting average of 279. His career on base is 385. And his career OPS is 948.
Wow.
Those are some serious numbers, man. And then if you want to take it a little bit further here and just dig into this season with the StatCast data, he's in the 100th percentile, so top of the league in the following categories, Jason. Average exit velocity, which to me is maybe the king of these categories.
Yep.
Hard hit percentage, X slug, like you mentioned, X woba, and barrel percentage. All of those he is top of the league. Max exit velocity, which I think is an extraordinarily overrated stat. Still 97th percentile there. X batting average, 94th percentile. So of those six kind of major, you know, ones that people look at, worst, he's in 94th percentile. Five of those seven, he is literally top of the league. So I don't know what more you would ask out of Aaron Judge at this point.
Yeah, and I, you know, just doing a little bit of research on the before the show here, his career slugging, you know, it's only a small sample size, right? But it's, I think, top 10 of all careers. It's phenomenal what he's been doing, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he's had 618 games in his career, so that equates out to, what, like four seasons and some change.
Yeah.
Or not even quite four seasons. We still got a long ways
to go.
But I mean, if he continues at this pace, like that's just craziness.
Yeah.
So speaking of craziness, Jason, do you know what's next, right?
I think by that transition, I think so.
Down on the farm.
All right, so this week is my down on the farm here. And I'm going to go with maybe someone's a little bit lesser known, but maybe making some waves recently, and that's Ricky Teeterman of Toronto.
We did talk about him.
We did.
Yeah, Jesse Goldberg's thruster on here.
Yeah, he's actually the one that kind of put me onto him last year, and then we were doing a lot of the first-year player draft preparations over in the offseason here, and his name kind of kept popping up on a lot of the rankings and different researches that I was pulling up. So let's talk about him a little bit here. Yeah, so he's a 19-year-old left-handed pitcher in the Toronto system. He was a third-round pick in last year's 2021 MLB draft. And, you know, since being drafted, he's added some muscle and is paying off as he's added a few ticks to his velocity, which actually only sat in the low 90s pre-draft, and it's up to, you know, mid to upper 90s now. He features a changeup and a slider. As in most pitchers, he didn't make any appearances last year. You know, they want to limit those innings. But so far this year, he's made 8 starts, which is about roughly 39 innings. Got 62 strikeouts to go with only 15 walks. So that's good enough for, you know, 30-plus K minus walk rate. And he was recently promoted to high A. And he continues just to dominate there. It's only been 2 starts, but, you know, so it's not too much takeaway. But he's got an average against of only 9.94. He's got a whip of 0.52. And he's got a strikeout rate of 36%. Again, it's only 2 games. But, hey, when you're making that step up from one league to the next, it's good to see that there's no regression there. So he's definitely someone that you should probably consider rostering in some of your shallower, dynasty formats. It's someone that I'm going to continue to keep my eye on as he continues to develop here. Again, he's only 19 years old. And yeah, shout out to, Jesse for shouting out that name last, I don't know when that was. I think it was in the off season here. And yeah, he kind of shouted out and said, you know, he saw him on the backfields last year and saying that he might be even better than their first round pick. So,
yeah, I mean, I think you pretty much nailed everything on the head. I mean, I'll just kind of repeat what I usually say, and that is until you get past, you know, A-ball in some fashion, you really have to take every statistic with a complete grain of salt. And yep. So the things that I'm looking for example, so like honestly, the thing that stands out to me the most is the fact that he's got 8 starts and he's thrown basically 40 innings. So that's 5 innings a start. Now, I've seen enough minor league baseball to tell you that someone going 5 innings on average is pretty solid at that level. Like a lot of these guys, you'll see, you know, 2 innings, 3 innings, you know, like 3 or 4 is pretty common. So 5 may not sound like a big difference, but you don't always see guys going that late into games this early into the season. So that leads me to believe that he's someone who probably is going to be, and we'll see what his health is, but if healthy, is a guy that's going to eat you some innings. I completely dismiss the K numbers. If he don't have good K to walk ratio at those levels, then I'm concerned. So it's great to see it, but until we get to double A, that's kind of when I start to look and give a little bit to the stats, you know.
Absolutely.
A ball and below, I want to see good stats, but I don't allow them to make me go, oh man, he's getting 2 Ks an inning in low A.
Right.
I mean, good. I'm glad he is, but if he was doing that in double A, then we can talk, you know? But no, that's definitely a good name. And then listen, man, we're going to get to my dude here real quick because Julio Rodriguez, I think, has exceeded expectations for what you would expect for, you know, his rookie season. And, you know, we had a nice run for a little while where we were seeing a good amount of rookies that were coming up and playing pretty well. Like some of the higher, you know, the bigger names were coming up and playing well. And then recently we've seen more along the lines of what you're used to seeing, where guys come up and they struggle because that's what they're supposed to do. To me, you've got all the Taylor Ward stuff, which has been ridiculous. If you saw my tweet yesterday, you see all the Jock Peterson stuff. That's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But still, one of the things that stands out most to me, and I don't know, man, like I didn't expect this in any fashion at all, is that Julio Rodriguez leads the league in stolen bases.
Yeah.
That is not at all what Julio Rodriguez is supposed to come up and do. Julio Rodriguez is supposed to come up, have a power bat, hit for a pretty decent average, and you know, that's what he is. But he leads the league in stolen bases, and I did not see that coming. And so that's saying something. But he's got a 274 average, which for a rookie season is great. And this season, that's way above average. So that's pretty phenomenal. On base has a lot to desire, 323. But what's the last thing we usually see from hitters, for, you know, young hitters?
Play discipline.
I would argue that it's patience, play discipline. Yeah. So not a huge surprise there. A slugging percentage of 430, you know, whatever. And an OPS of 753. Again, nothing impressive there. But the fact that, you know, he's out there and he's performing at a pretty decent level, is something that, you know, we can't take for granted. So 6 home runs, 23 RBIs. He's got 58 strikeouts in 178 at bats. So that's a little bit higher than we'd like to see. That's what, about a 33% strikeout
rate? Yeah, it's a little, yeah.
So, I mean, he, you know, there's some work to be done, obviously, but the stolen bases are a huge surprise. I think that we can chalk up to saying he is exceeding expectations. What do you think, Jason?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I know, like, we know that he got made the open day roster, and he had the first maybe, like, rough 1 or 2 weeks. However, when you look back to it, starting from April 17th, so roughly about the last 39 games, he's only had 13 games, which he didn't record a hit. He's also, during that time, he's had 12 multi-hit games. And again, like you nailed it on the head, the speed is what stands out to me. 14 stolen bases, only 47 games. Just like the other guys were talking about, the, you know, projecting out the stats. Stolen bases aren't quite, you know, it's a little bit harder to project stolen bases. But for a talking point here, you're talking about, you know, what's that, 40-something stolen bases, roughly. So that's definitely not something you saw coming as a rookie, right?
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
He's on pace for 40 stolen bases, basically.
Yeah. And, you know, again, checking out 30% of the time, but as a rookie, he's still hitting decent, you know, 270. You can live with the 30% strikeout rate. He still hits the ball hard, ranks in the 88th percentile in hard hit rate, 87th percentile in average exit velo, and even the barrel rate's above league average. So, you know, for a guy that, you know, came up and being a rookie in opening day, it's obviously, clearly, exceeding expectations.
Yeah, I'm trying to go back here and look. So, for example, last year he had 16 stolen bases, and well, no, that's not true. Between the two levels, he had 21 stolen bases.
He's already almost there in 47 games. I mean,
yeah, and so he's doing it at the highest level. That was in high A and double A. You know, I mean, God, if you go back to, you know, 2019, even, he had one stolen base. And then way back in rookie ball, 2018, he had 10 stolen bases. So this is kind of out of nowhere.
Right.
And again, that's even to someone who has, you know, followed him pretty closely. I've been pulling up stats at like the quarter point of the season and stuff. And just, you know, I've been tweeting out things that caught my attention.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of that is just simply picking stat categories and just going ahead and filtering from, you know, top, you know, the top of the league and bottom of the league, and looking at like the top 10, 15, 20 names and who stands out. And when I got to stolen bases and I saw Julio Rodriguez was up there, I was like, what? Really? Like, that's surprising. And then he just, right, every week he's there. So I don't know, man.
Definitely shocking.
I wouldn't say to expect it, but I mean, we'll take it while we can get it. And speaking of taking it while we can get it, Paul Goldschmidt, man, like I feel like this was the offseason probably more than any. And of course, each offseason, I think the chatter would just get louder with age. But we continue to talk about, okay, when is this guy going to just kind of fall off? And a lot of it is, you know, we're talking about the speed, because, I mean, there is a point in time where he was a couple years,
2020.
He was stealing, you know, 20 bags. For a little while. I mean, he had almost three out of like a 6 year stretch where he was stealing at least 20 bags. And yeah, he's only got 3 stolen bases this year, but I mean, I don't care when he's batting 352.
Yeah.
And I don't care when he's got a 418, you know, on base. And I don't care when he's got an OPS over 1,000. I mean, he's got 11 home runs, 42 RBIs. I think that leads the league.
Leads second in the NL.
Okay. I mean, it's either way.
It's really close up there. Yeah.
Yeah,
top five. Crazy.
So, you know, for all the talk of, okay, is this the year that Goldsmith finally falls off? This is on pace to arguably have maybe the best season he's had. Of course, take away the stolen bases.
Right.
Because even with this dead ball, like we've been talking about, he would be on pace for 33 home runs, which would be his second highest total of his career. He's on pace for 120 some RBIs, 126 to be exact, which would be his high. He's not going to continue batting 352, but
right.
His career high is 321. So he's got every chance of beating that. His career average is 295. So it seems like it's decent chance he's going to hit over 300.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know, man. It's not like he's that old. I feel like when I think of Paul Goldschmidt in my head, I'm thinking of someone that's like, I don't know, 38 or, you know, something like that. He's only 34. So he's not that old. And Joe Bond here says, Goldie is the man. I don't even know if Joe knew who Paul Goldschmidt is. But I don't know, man. What do you think? I mean, again, we've had this conversation the last few off seasons.
Yeah, it seems
here
like
he is not just maintaining but improving. What do you think, man?
Yeah, it seems like, you know, who'd have thought getting out of Arizona would have catapulted his career even more? Because, like we said, I know we had those great seasons in California or in Arizona. And now that he's in this somewhat stacked lineup, right? You got Arenado and, you know, some other guys there in that St. Louis lineup. He's putting up those numbers, especially the RBI numbers. That's the biggest, you know, takeaway when you're, you know, got guys setting the table for you. It's, again, like you said, it's 42 RBIs at the midway season, or sorry, quarter of the season, second in the NL. Another stat here I found is his weighted runs created plus is actually 194,
wow.
Ranks the fourth best in all of baseball, behind only guys of Trout, Judge, and Jose Ramirez. So obviously good company there. And he's in the midst of a 21-game hit streak, dating back to May 7th. You know, during that stretch, he's got 31 of his 42 RBIs have come in the last 21 games, including 11 multi-hit games. So he's definitely not slowing down now, and, you know, it helps when you're in a shitty division like the NL Central and you get to feast on Cubs pitching and Pittsburgh pitching and things like that. But hey, this guy's, you know, he's definitely got, I don't know, you know, who the front runners are for the NL MVP at this moment, but definitely up there. Jock Peterson for sure. But no, I mean, you know, Goldie's definitely right up there too. So
I'll tell you what, next week, next week we're going to talk about Jock Peterson.
Okay.
And we probably should have talked about it this week, but I already had the show planned out.
Right.
And I was doing some nonsense, just looking up some stuff. And I just couldn't believe the StatCast data for Peterson. And so that's something that I think we should dig into next week. And we'll just kind of talk about that a little bit.
Because
this is a guy that I think everyone's always thought, you know, is a pretty good hitter.
Oh, yeah.
But if you just simply look at his numbers just on their own, they're not terrible, obviously, but I don't think that they, like, super stand out as, like, some crazy statistical season. But then you look at his StatCast data, and it's like, wait a second. This guy's, like, top of the league in, like, everything. Like, everything.
Yeah.
So why is he only hitting 267? And, you know, like, it's weird. Like, I don't know. It's weird. So we'll talk about that a little bit next week, Jason. But
I look forward to it.
I think we have Nick back next week, and then we'll see. Maybe we'll get the whole gang back together, huh? Oh, and Jason's frozen. So, all right. On that note, then, I appreciate everyone for tuning in, and we will catch you next week.